lady's word, taken from the mystical city of God, book 2, chapter 1. Our lady speaks of the great advantages to eternal salvation in the religious life.
My daughter, the greatest happiness which can befall any soul in this mortal life is that the Almighty call her to His house consecrated to His service. For by this benefit He rescues the soul from a dangerous slavery and relieves her of the vile servitude of the world, where, deprived of true liberty, she eats her bread in the sweat of her brow. Who is so dull and insipid as not to know the dangers of the worldly life, which is hampered by all the abominable and most wicked laws and customs introduced by the astuteness of the devil and perversity of men? The better part is religious life in retirement. In it is found security. Outside is a torment and a stormy sea, full of sorrow and unhappiness. Through the hardness of their heart and the total forgetfulness of themselves, men do not know this truth and are not attracted by its blessings. But thou, O soul, be not deaf to the voice of the Most High. Attend and correspond to it in thy actions. I wish to remind thee that one of the greatest snares of the demon is to counteract the call of the Lord, whenever he seeks to attract and incline the soul to a life of perfection in his service. Even by itself, the public and sacred act of receiving the habit and entering religion, although it is not always performed with proper fervor and purity of intention, is enough to rouse the wrath and fury of the infernal dragon and his demons. For they know that this act tends not only to the glory of the Lord and the joy of the holy angels, but that religious life will bring the soul to holiness and perfection. It very often happens that they who have received the habit with earthly and human motives are afterwards visited by divine grace, which perfects them and sets all things aright. If this is possible even when the beginning was without a good intention, how much more powerful and efficacious will be the light and influence of grace and the discipline of religious life, when the soul enters under the influence of divine love and with a sincere and earnest desire of finding God and of serving and loving Him. Before the Most High reforms or advances those who for any reason enter the religious state, it is no more than right that in turning away from the world, they avert also their eyes from it and blot out from their memory all its images, forgetting all that they have in so praiseworthy a manner left behind. Those that neglect this requirement and are ungrateful and disloyal toward God will doubtlessly fall under the punishment of wife of Lot. And if on account of the goodness of God they do not suffer this punishment in an equally open and visible manner, they nevertheless undergo it interiorly, remaining congealed and full of dryness, without fervor or advance in virtue. Forsaken by grace, they thus do not attain the end of their vocation, make no progress in religion, nor find any spiritual consolation in it, and do not merit to be visited by the Lord as children, but to be left to their own resources like unfaithful and fugitive slaves. Remember, Mary, that for thee all the world must be crucified and dead, that thou must have it for no memory, retain none of its images, pay it no attention, nor have any inclination toward any of its creatures. If sometimes it is necessary to exercise charity with thy neighbors, see that thou ordain it well, and that thou safeguard beforehand the good of thy soul, its security and quiet, its interior tranquility and peace. In these points, as far as is possible without sin, I admonish and command thee to go to the greatest extremes if thou wishest to remain in my school.